Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review, the Season 6 premiere edition of the Cyril Quinn Review on this 7th of September 2013. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald, or hit me up at facebook.com/CyrilQuinn, or go to my website, CyrilGeraldQuinn.com. Certainly a exciting and busy time in the world of sports with the, of course, the NFL Week 1 kicking off on Thursday night. It was the Peyton Manning show, Denver against Baltimore. You have college football today, and then tomorrow you will have all the teams, just about the majority of teams kicking off NFL Week 1. A lot to do, busy program. Even a busy television program tomorrow. We'll talk about how you might want to navigate Sunday night. Sunday night at 9 p.m. tomorrow is going to be very tricky for the sports and pop culture and the sports and entertainment fans. So we'll talk about that. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. NFL season, of course, opening Thursday night. And, you know, listen, it's Peyton Manning. Last year, he was a top two MVP candidate, comeback player of the year. He reminded us last year of what, when he's on his game, which is more times than not. But when he finds those levels where very few players, very few quarterbacks in the history of the game can match when he's playing the way he plays Saturday night or Thursday night. There was nothing Baltimore could do. There's not a defensive scheme. Ray Lewis could have came out of retirement. Ed Reed could have came back to the team. It wouldn't matter. It really wouldn't matter. He was that great. When you run into a hot quarterback, especially, again, of the likes of a Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, when those guys get into those zones like that, there's nothing you can do. He clearly was in a zone. And Denver paying back Baltimore, a bit of payback. It doesn't compare to a AFC divisional game, but – Denver serving some notice against Baltimore week one, 49-20. When you look at this NFL season as a whole, the thing that to me jumps out, and we'll get to the rule change in terms of the running quarterback. We'll get to that. But the thing is, that jumps out to me is how much better, especially at the top, the NFC is as in comparison to the AFC. And that's why, that game for Denver, I mean, they had to have that game. And to me, if Denver's going to do anything this year in terms of getting to the Super Bowl, this is the year. The AFC at the top, New England, major question marks with the tight ends, with the situation with the tight ends, losing Welker. Their defense isn't any good, especially in that secondary. Pittsburgh, what they're going to do this year. This is not a vintage Pittsburgh team. Some age on that defense, questionable running game. Houston, can you count on Matt Schaub? Can you win the Super Bowl with Matt Schaub as a quarterback and Gary Kubiak as a coach? I mean, the AFC is just not that strong. Especially at the top, it's just not. That's why a lot of people. You could see a surprise team, in the AFC doing some damage. I mean, Kansas City, San Diego. I mean, Cincinnati, again, has the talent, but again, do you really trust Marvin Lewis? And do you really trust a franchise that hasn't won a playoff game in 22 years and counting? As in comparison to the NFC, where you have, you know, you have San Francisco, who's the slight favorites to get to the Super Bowl this year. You have Green Bay, who's up there. You have Atlanta, New Orleans. Excuse me. You have, you know, the Giants, who should have a, who could have a bounce back year. You have Washington. I mean, even the teams that have question marks, whether it be Dallas, a team like that, Chicago, Detroit, those, even those teams are as good as some of the AFC's top teams. See, I didn't even mention Seattle. Of course, Seattle, probably in some eyes, they are the favorites, the co-favorites along with San Francisco in terms of getting to the Super Bowl. I mean, again, the NFC is so much better than the AFC. It's not even funny. So that, to me, you know, as you we embark on this NFL season 2013, that to me is the thing that jumps out. Just how much the difference in talent, the difference in, you know, the difference between the two conferences. Three four seven two one five six one eight zero is your call number. Season six of the Cyril Quinn Review / Saturday Morning Wake Up Call has begun. When we return, we'll have today's headlines and also a preview of the Washington Redskins. That's coming up, and so much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back. Seven minutes after the 11 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review season six premiere. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Saturday morning headlines. Jim Harbaugh speaks out about the rule read option ruling, and if you missed it, NFL has changed this rule on the quarterbacks who, you know, they run the read option. And that guy, you just couldn't hit that guy on the pitch, the quarterback. Now you can hit that guy, and they're going to treat the quarterback as a runner. And, you know, when you think about it, it's a fair rule because to the runner on that read option, then you have, you know, you have RG3, you have a Colin Kaepernick running 80 yards for a touchdown. So, It absolutely, that guy, you know, at that point. Now, the thing about it, in the past years, that guy still had the option to throw the ball because he wasn't past the line of scrimmage. So he still had the option. Which makes it, you know, which makes the read option with a guy like RG3, Kaepernick, Russell Wilson, which makes it almost unstoppable, indefensible. So, but what you do is you just try to knock the quarterback out. That's what you do. That's how you stop it. You just knock, you pound the quarterback. So Harbaugh speaks out. Again, to no surprise, he has one of the prime read option quarterbacks in the league with Colin Kaepernick. You know, the NFL, it's a fair rule. It's a fair rule for that because look, because listen, you have to give, listen, you have to give the defense all these rules. You have to toss the defense a bone at some point. I mean, you had the rules with you can't touch the quarterback, you can't touch the receivers. In the last 10 years, 5 to 10 years, all these rules have been geared towards putting points on the board, and we've seen that in the past five to ten years, how these offenses have become unstoppable. I mean, so this kind of gives the defense some. This kind of helps out the defense. Again, I still want to see somebody come up with a scheme or something to try to stop this. I'm sure you have had defensive coordinators all around the league planning entire off seasons trying to figure out how to slow this offense down. But it is a very difficult task because you just don't know. Again, when you have a guy like a Kaepernick, like an RG3, you can't fully commit to anything. And both of those, I mean, keep in mind, the running backs on those particular teams, Alfred Morris and Vernon and Frank Gore, are tremendous players. So you commit to that, you're leaving wide. You're losing gap control, and you know Alfred Morris or Frank Gore is going to gouge you for 20 or 30 yards, 10 to 15 yard pickup. So again, have no problem with the rule. Harbaugh, of course, is Jim Harbaugh. He's going to complain about it to no avail. Just protecting his quarterback. We'll see how defenses defend this particular offense come this season. With the baseball last night, Yankees blew a flat 5-run lead to the Boston. You have Mike Napoli, who's had a tremendous year for the Red Sox, hit a game tying grand slam. Red Sox have won 4 straight. Take out the Yankees 12-8. Red Sox are in complete control of that division. Yankees still within striking distance in terms of wild card, just 2.5 games out of the wild card race, so they're still in good shape to possibly make a wild card run. Cincinnati takes out the Dodgers 3-2. St. Louis over Pittsburgh 12-8. Now you have that NL Central division along with the NL in terms of divisional races. You have 2 races. You have the NL Central and the AL West. NL Central, you have St. Louis. Pittsburgh, St. Louis, and Cincinnati separated by 2 games right now. Of course, again, Pittsburgh and St. Louis are in the series this weekend. And you have Cincinnati playing the Dodgers. So Cincinnati has a chance to pick up some ground as those two teams beat up on each other. Of course, and the wild card races in the NL is basically shut down. I mean, they're like nobody's catching Cincinnati or St. Louis. They're both 8 games ahead of the next closest team. So that wild card race is, you know, all 3 of those teams are making the playoffs: Pittsburgh, St. Louis, Cincinnati. But of course, you don't want to, if you're Pittsburgh, St. Louis, or Cincinnati, you want to win the division. You don't want to be playing in that play-in wild card game. You don't want to be that where it's 1 game in your season. So that's certainly the goal, the incentive to win the division. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Busy program coming up. We're going to look at the Redskins preview. Can they get to the Super Bowl? We'll talk about that and some college football as well on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
215-615-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review, Season 6. One of the busiest weekends in all of sports. You have the football, of course, both college and pro. You have the tennis. Serena Williams will take on Azarenka tomorrow. And I look, finally, the U.S. Open comes to its senses and changes up the schedule in regards to how they're going to navigate that. You're going to have the men's semifinals, Gasquet and Nadal, Djokovic and Wawrinka, this afternoon. Then you'll have the women's final tomorrow afternoon, Serena and Azarenka. Now, Serena lifetime is 12-3 against Azarenka, but Azarenka has beaten her twice this year. And Serena's only lost, like, I think, 4 matches this year. So keep your eye on that. And then you're going to have the men's final Monday at 5 p.m. And it makes perfect sense. I mean, how many years in a row was the men's final on Monday anyway because of the weather? So, yeah, I think there was a stretch. It was like three or four straight years in a row that the men's final was took place on a Monday because of the weather. So they're moving it to Monday. And it makes more sense, the fact that the men, just from a physical standpoint, you know, it didn't make sense for the men to have to play a grueling semifinal and then they had to play a final back-to-back. It just made zero sense. Again, U.S. Open finally coming to its senses. Looking forward to a possible Djokovic-Nadal matchup. Nadal has been basically unbeatable in the last 6 weeks on hard court, which is not his strongest surface. His strongest surface, of course, is clay. But hard court, he's been tremendous. He's been great. Has won one U.S. Open in his back pocket, so he has that. Djokovic trying to get back on track, and win his first U.S. Open since 2011. So again, I hope Djokovic-Nadal matchup. I thought Djokovic caught a break, to be honest with you. He had to play Wawrinka. Wawrinka taking out Andy Murray, the defending champion. I thought that would have been clear advantage to Nadal had he had to face Djokovic coming off Andy Murray semifinal. So Djokovic has two things going for him if he can get to a final. He won't have to face Andy Murray in the semifinals, and he'll have that extra day of rest to recover. So two things going in the favor of one Novak Djokovic as we near the end of the U.S. Open. So you have that going on this weekend. Again, a ton. You have that going on this weekend. Of course, you had the baseball with the pennant races as well. We'll focus in on the Redskins now. Didn't do a lot of Redskins in the last few weeks because, listen, the preseason is the preseason. You're just hoping that you keep everybody healthy. The Redskins, for the most part, were able to do that. They did go 4-0 in preseason, which to me means nothing because RG3 did not play in the preseason. Kirk Cousins didn't even play the last game. But to me, you know, you look at this Redskins team, to me they go in as a prime contender, not only to win a division. I think they're the favorites. I think they should be favored to win a division, but to get to a Super Bowl. Now, listen, there are some things defensively that are going to have to go their way. I think Arakpo has to stay healthy. He has to stay healthy to give them that 1-2 punch. Arakpo and Kerrigan pass rush. And the main question is for Redskins is the secondary. You know, can that secondary, Rambo, Merriweather, D'Angelo Hall, Josh Wilson, can that secondary hold up this season? Last year, they gave up a ton of big plays. Run defense was solid. They did turn people over with interceptions, but they gave up way too many big plays. And you're in a conference with Eli Manning, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers. They'll face Aaron Rodgers next week, by the way. Tony Romo, Colin Kaepernick, Russell Wilson, Matt Ryan, Cam Newton. I mean, listen, you're in a kind of Detroit. I mean, Stafford. NFC is loaded with big-time quarterbacks. Loaded. So the Redskins are going to have to stay. They're going to have to stay away from They're going to limit those number of big plays that they gave up. They cost them games last year. Case in point, the Victor Cruz play in that Giant game, which they easily could have won in New York. But again, I think the Redskins are a prime contender to win the Super Bowl. Everybody talks about RG3. I'm not worried about RG3 per se. All right, you know, he has been cleared to play. Is he going to be? I'm not as concerned about RG3 as a lot of people are. To me, I don't even view him as a question. If he's on the field, after he's an MVP candidate. If he's on the field, as far as I'm concerned. So you look at the Redskins. You look at a team. Now again, the schedule, and we'll get to the schedule in a minute here. Schedule is brutal, but the team is better. You know, this was a 10-6 team that easily could have been in a divisional playoffs game had RG3 been healthy in that game against Seattle. They were up 14-0 with RG3 on one leg. So a 10-6 team, and you add a healthy Fred Davis who needs to stay healthy. You add a Brian Arakpo who needs to stay healthy. You know, Adam character. You had those guys. And then you had Alfred Morris in his second year. Another, you know, the offensive line basically intact. And, you know, so to me, this has all the makings to be a big-time year for the Washington Redskins. Mike Shanahan, year four. So, you know, finally, the Redskins have some stability. Didn't make a lot of moves in the offseason. Again, I know they were cap-strapped because of what happened. You know, they circumvented along the Dallas Cowboys, circumvented the salary cap and got penalized for that. But they didn't need to go out and get a bunch of free agents, and they didn't. So this team knows how to win from last year, coming off the division championship. Again, they have their schedule is brutal. When you talk about the division's already tough enough. When the Philadelphia Eagles are the worst team in your division, that just shows you how tough the division is. You have 9 divisional games at Green Bay next week, at Denver, San Francisco, at Atlanta, Chicago, at Minnesota. That is a brutal schedule. I think the key part of the Redskins schedule is the beginning. Hosting Philadelphia, at Green Bay, Detroit, and Oakland. You need to be 3-1 out of the gate. The Redskins need to have a 3-1 September. For me, in order to make a serious run to get home field advantage and possibly get to a Super Bowl, they have some tough stretches in there. They really have no breaks in this schedule. To be honest with you, if you're breaking it down to four game quarters, the Redskins, each one of those quarters play a team that was either in the playoffs last year or a playoff caliber team this year. Of course, they will open Monday night, 6:55 kickoff at home against Philadelphia. Again, against the Philadelphia Eagles team that is clearly in transition. Chip Kelly taking over. So we'll see what the Eagles do with this offense here. Again, Redskins are a much better team than Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles defense, I still had major question marks. If you are a Super Bowl contending team, if you are a team that wants to win a division, you go out there and you handle the Eagles 31-17, 31-10. And that's all there to it. Not only should they beat the Eagles, they should handle the Philadelphia Eagles. So, to me, already must-win game for the Redskins, and especially considering that they're going to have to travel to Lambeau Field next week, possibly faces a Green Bay team that could be coming off a loss against San Francisco. So not to say that Green Bay will automatically lose to San Francisco, but I'm just painting a scenario. I mean, we're painting you a scenario. Regardless of where Green Bay comes off a win or a loss, the bottom line is you have to travel to Lambeau Field on a short week facing the best player in the league next week. So a game that the Redskins, to me, have to have. And this is the one thing that you want to see out the Redskins this year. You can't get into this chase mode. And what I mean by chase mode, you can't get to a situation where you're 5-6, you're 4-6, you're 6-7. Redskins need to get off to a fast start, and they need to be playing from ahead. And they need to be 6-2. They need to be 7-3. They need to be 8-4. They don't need to be facing, you know, after Thanksgiving, every game a must win. And that's what's been happening with the Redskins in their last couple of two or three playoff appearances. Whether it's last year, whether it's 2007, 2005, and, you know, they find themselves, you know, having to come up with these miracle finishes to their seasons just to give them, just to have a chance to make the playoffs. But again, I like this Redskins team. I think they're a legit Super Bowl contender, as far as I'm concerned. Certainly, they have question marks. Well, every team in the NFL has question marks. So they're in a brutal conference. They have a tough division, tough schedule. But I think the Redskins are going to have a big year. I would predict the Redskins. I think the Redskins are going to be 11. I think the Redskins will win the division and go 11-5 this year. That's my prediction, and go 11-5. So I really like the Redskins' chances this year to get to New Jersey and play in Super Bowl 48 possibly. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, Sunday's best. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back.
It makes it easier to manage. You won't be ready, no, no. Some girls ain't no hard-headed. No, they're only happy today.
The 11 o'clock hour in this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. NFL picks week one coming up later on in the program. So this season I actually will keep my record. Like I've done, we've been doing NFL picks the past three, you know, five, or since the program, I think since the program started, we've been doing NFL picks at least for the last 4 years. And I haven't kept up with my record probably because I haven't been very good at the picks. So this year we'll keep up with the record. As week for week, I have three games for you coming up. We'll talk about that as part of our NFL back to kickoff preview 2013. Of course, the NFL season kicked off Thursday, Denver and Baltimore, and it will be in full gear come tomorrow afternoon. Some great games tomorrow. Some great games. San Francisco, Green Bay, Atlanta, New Orleans. Of course, you had the Sunday night game, Dallas hosting the Giants, Cincinnati and Chicago. So it's a very good game. So some good games tomorrow. In the week one action. Programming notes, we're going to have a NFL wrap-up show tomorrow at 7:30. Get you ready for the Sunday night game. And also look back at some of the afternoon action, and if we're lucky, we could have some live play-by-play action. As a lot of times in that 7 to 7:30 window, you have games still going on, so we might do some play-by-play as well. Especially if a game is close, we'll definitely look back. We'll definitely look into that particular game. Again, programming note that we'll have that, and this week. We're going to add something new to the program. We're going to have a Breaking Bad / Boardwalk Empire recap show. So how that's going to work, we'll break down both shows. I'll be joined by my esteemed colleague, Robert Sapp and Chad Quinn. We'll go Breaking Bad first, then we'll walk Empire. Don't know if that's going to be Tuesday or Wednesday. Either Tuesday or Wednesday is going to be either one of those two, those days. So be on the lookout for that. Be on the lookout for that particular, for those particular episodes. NFL show, again, the NFL show for the first 4 weeks will be the NFL wrap-up show. Because of Breaking Bad and those shows, we're going to push the NFL show back. I'll push the NFL show back until Breaking Bad is over. Once Breaking Bad is over, then we won't do the wrap-up show, and we'll do the NFL show to recap the entire week of weekend of NFL football. So tomorrow, NFL wrap-up show at 7:30, Breaking Bad / Boardwalk Empire recap shows either Tuesday or Wednesday. Be on the lookout for both those programs. Speaking of Breaking Bad and Boardwalk Empire, of course, season 4 of Boardwalk Empire will premiere tomorrow night. Now, you're going to have some decisions to make. Football fan, Boardwalk Empire, Breaking Bad fans, which I am all of the above. Sunday night game, of course, today at 8:30. You have Boardwalk Empire premiering at 9 p.m. HBO. You have Breaking Bad, episode 5, premiering 9 p.m. AMC. There's no way, unless you have a job where you don't have to be until the afternoon, there's no way you can watch all three of them. You know, you could do NFL. Again, I'm sure Breaking, but you could do NFL game be over at 12 o'clock, then go directly into Breaking Bad, 12 o'clock, we'll go back and probably 1 o'clock game. You're not going to do that. So to me, I'm probably going to watch Breaking Bad. Okay, I can watch Breaking Bad and have the NFL Sunday night game on my computer with the course on mute. And when Breaking Bad goes to commercials, keep it on the commercials and have the NFL game and watch the NFL game until, of course, Breaking Bad comes back from commercials. At which point, then I'm totally engaged back into Breaking Bad because Breaking Bad has been so detailed this season. You can't have passive watching. You have to be in tune to what is going on in every minute of the episode. That's how they really tried to test the audience this year with the writing. So you could do that, watch Breaking Bad, and then, of course, Monday, watch Boardwalk Empire. You could do that. Because Monday or Tuesday, watch Boardwalk Empire. Because you think about it, the Monday night game, I mean, San Diego, Houston, yeah, it's football. But there are a couple ways. I mean, there are a couple things you can go. I'm telling you what I'm going to do. I'm going to watch Breaking Bad and have the Sunday night game on at the same time. And then probably watch Boardwalk Empire either Monday or Tuesday. Probably Tuesday. Tough to navigate, though. Both those shows being on at the same time and on the same night with the Sunday Night Football. It's gonna be very interesting with Boardwalk Empire in terms of now you have Chalky. He's gonna have his own club, which is gonna be similar to the Cotton Club in Harlem down in Atlantic City. He got Nookie, owes Chalky. You have this new gangster coming out from Harlem, which is going to be, I know it's going to be brilliantly played by Jeffrey Wright, Dr. Narcisse, Valentin Narcisse, Dr. Divinity. So his character should be very interesting to watch. You have what's going on in Chicago with the O'Banions and Capone now emerging as the man in Chicago. They're going to have, you know, New York, Luciano, Lansky. breaking off from Walt, they, you know, breaking off from Rothstein. Now, you know, they start to flex their muscle in terms of what they do. Where does that leave Rothstein? But the key dynamic to me to the season of Boardwalk Empire is that whole chalky Nookie, Dr. Narcisse, and the new Valentin Narcisse, those three, to me, will be the key to the season in terms of what happens with those particular three. Of course, we talked about Breaking Bad on the show with Robert Sapp. This is gonna be an episode, again, expect the unexpected with Breaking Bad. You figure Walt's coming in with his army, Todd's uncle, trying to kill Jesse. It's not going to be that simple. There's going to be some curveballs that they throw at you in this particular episode. I expect this episode to be one of those episodes that we're going to be talking about for a long time. Last week's episode was a perfect setup episode. This episode, to me, is going to have some fireworks. For this, I mean, remember, only there are only 3 hours. I mean, you have four episodes left. There will be no wasted motion with Breaking Bad come tomorrow night. So tomorrow, September 8th, big day, big for entertainment and sports, with the football, Breaking Bad, Boardwalk Empire, Sunday Night Football, and those three. Very tough to navigate, but we'll figure out. We'll make it work. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we'll look at some college football, two prime games. In college football's week number two, we'll look at that on this latest edition of the Cyril Cooper Review. We'll be right back. Who knows how many years it'll be. The series will end next year with a showdown at in South Bend, 2014. Two teams that are very good, but neither one are legitimate championship contenders, national championship contenders as far as I'm concerned. Michigan is probably the biggest threat in the Big Ten to Ohio State, who is clearly the favorite to come out of that conference. This game, again, this is not Bo Schembechler and Lou Holtz, by any stretch of imagination. I think Notre Dame is vastly overrated at being ranked number 14. I just don't think they're any good compared to what they were last year. They won a lot of close games last year. I think their defense is good. I question that offensively. I don't like them offensively. To me, the difference in this game is Michigan. Michigan having the better quarterback, Devin Gardner. It's going to be offense versus defense. It's going to be Michigan's, the weapons Michigan has offensively versus Notre Dame's defense, which is still probably one of the top defenses in the country. Though I don't think their defense is as good as they were last year. I was not impressed by Notre Dame last week against Temple. Michigan, of course, they played Western Michigan, so you're not going to get anything out of that. Unless they won 59-9. So, again, prime time, Saturday night game. ABC should be interesting to watch, but it's more about tradition than it is about actual championship implications. This game, to me, will have no national championship implications. Neither one of these teams are championship caliber teams. Should be a very good game. They've played in the past 4 or 5 years some exciting games, some games that are going down to the wire. I like Michigan home with the home field advantage, with the home field, and also with the better quarterback. The game to me to watch today the more intriguing one is the SEC opener, Georgia hosting South Carolina. Georgia coming off a tough loss at Clemson last week in a very entertaining game. They lost their top receiver, Malcolm Mitchell, for the season. They're going to have to face back-to-back top 10 opponents, which rarely happens to open the season. Last year, South Carolina manhandled them 35-7. Georgia, you know, this is a make or break loss for this is a make or break game for Georgia. If Georgia loses this game, they can forget any hopes of a national championship. I mean, that's all there is to it. Like they have no chance at a national championship if they lose this game. South Carolina, of course, a lot of people think that South Carolina is one of the number one contender towards dethroning Alabama in that SEC, along with Georgia as well, along with Georgia. So South Carolina, who has the best player in the country, Javadian Clowney, without question. Good running backs, good quarterback, a decent quarterback. We'll see. We're going to see what South Carolina's made up of, too. That would mean they played North Carolina last week. That game was kind of sloppy. You had the lightning to stop it. So that, I don't know if you can get a good read of South Carolina based on that particular game. Opening week, Thursday night. This game, you know, I'll be very impressed if South Carolina can go into Georgia and beat a desperate Georgia team. I think Georgia's going to win the game because I just think they're a more desperate team and they're at home. But if South Carolina can go in on the road, season opener, SEC opener, and win, that would be extremely impressive and go a long way towards, you know, them challenging Alabama for not only an SEC championship but a national championship as well. So you got those two. Those are two big games of the day. South Carolina taking on traveling to Georgia, and you also have Florida. You also have Notre Dame traveling to the Big House for the last time to take on Michigan. Right now, you have Miami and Florida playing. Florida ranked number 12. Miami, we're seeing see if Miami's on its way back to national prominence. Ranked in some places. I saw them ranked 24th in the AP poll. They are not ranked in the ESPN USAA poll, but it seems like Al Golden has them on the right track. Of course, he faced so much controversy with Miami in the past few years, and, you know, in the past few years, they're trying to rebuild that program. Still have some talent, though. So right now, the score is nothing, 0-0. First quarter down in South Florida. Miami has the ball at midfield. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, NFL picks in a week one in the league where no contract is guaranteed. We'll be right back. My record in terms of these games. So I'm going to do a better job at that. Great to have the season back. Finally, a full Sunday of NFL football will begin in Carolina, Seattle, a legit Super Bowl contender, taking on the Carolina Panthers with Cam Newton. Seattle, a 3.5-point favorite on the road. Very tricky game because you know Seattle is a better team than Carolina. We understand this. But week one in the NFL can be tricky for teams who are favorites, especially on the road. I expect a competitive game. I do think that Seattle will win and cover. I'm thinking 20-21-17. This will be a very competitive game. You just don't know about Carolina. I mean, Carolina, Cam Newton can go out there and throw for 300 yards and rush 150 and score 4 touchdowns. I mean, you don't know what you're going to get out of Carolina. Still certainly have question marks about their defense, but offensively, they have weapons. We know that. At home, coming off a disappointing year, Cam Newton looking to redeem himself off last year, even though he played well the last 4 or 5 weeks. Should be a very good game, but I'll take Seattle 21-17 down in Carolina. Game number two, Sunday night, Giants travel down to Big D, Arlington to play the Dallas Cowboys. Giants, this has been a home away from home for the New York Giants. They have won 4 straight games in Dallas dating back to 2009. They've owned the Cowboys in Dallas. Dallas is a 3.5-point favorite. Question marks about the Giants physically as far as David Wilson, Stevie Brown. Stevie Brown is out. JPP, Pierre Paul is questionable. So we don't know, even if he does play, how healthy will he be. Dallas Cowboys are talking big. Tony Romo, best all-around team I've had since I've been here. Dallas seems to, every year, manufacture themselves as a legit Super Bowl contender, which is comical because they're not. But they do have a lot of weapons on offense. They have a healthy DeMarco Murray. We know how good Dez Bryant is. Jason Witten's a Hall of Famer. You know, Miles Austin can play. Still, the question mark, outside DeMarcus Ware, the question mark is certainly about their defense. Their defense outside DeMarcus Ware should be a great game. I just can't, you know, I can't see a team going within the division, going to another team's building and beating them 5 straight years. That's just hard. The percentages are a favor the Dallas Cowboys in this particular game. I'll take Dallas 27-23. I'll take Dallas to finally end that string of giant victories in Arlington. So I'll take Dallas with the points. Game number three, Tennessee-Pittsburgh. This is a point favorite. That's what attracted me about this particular game because we don't know what Pittsburgh's going to look like this year. I mean, we just don't. Like, they have questions all over the board. The age on defense, the running game. Le'Veon Bell is out. One of their top draft picks, and was expected to be one of their prime running backs. I mean, do you really trust Jonathan Dwyer? Do you really trust? I mean, some of their running game. Do you really trust this offensive line? I just thought, like, Pittsburgh to me. They come in. They can go in either direction. They can win a division or they can not make the playoffs. 7 points is too many points. Tennessee has weapons, people. Chris Johnson can go out there and rush for 150 yards. Kenny Britt and Kendall Wright are pretty good receivers. Locker still is shaky and still has to prove whether or not he's a legit NFL starting quarterback. But again, this is a perfect time to me. Week one, a Pittsburgh team with question marks, 7 points is too many points for the Steelers. They don't get that much respect. I'll take the Steelers to win the game 24-20, but I'll take Tennessee with the points, Pittsburgh to win the game. So, 3 picks, 3 games, Seattle with the points over Carolina, Dallas with the points, beating the Giants, ending that losing streak. And my one minor upset, Tennessee, to lose the game but to cover with the points against Pittsburgh. Three games in a week one where no league, where no contract is guaranteed. This is the Cheryl Quinn Review. We'll be right back. After the 12 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Cheryl Quinn Review Season 6 premiere, one of the busiest weekends in all the sports. Today, of course, college football, NFL, which is already kicked off. You had the better baseball pennant races. You had the U.S. Open tonight, U.S. Open this weekend. Well, all three days, as the semifinals will take place for the men today. Well, as we speak, tomorrow, women's final, Serena looking for another Grand Slam. And, of course, the men's final, hopefully, we'll get a Djokovic-Nadal matchup Monday. So, busy weekend for sports, busy weekend for pop culture, and television in general, Breaking Bad and Boardwalk Empire, season 4 premiere of Boardwalk Empire, both premiering at 9 p.m. tomorrow night. We began the program, though, talking about, of course, the NFL, and the discrepancy between the two conferences, with the NFC just being so much deeper and stronger than the AFC. That's why, you know, again, it's a huge year for the Denver Broncos. I'm telling you right now, if Denver doesn't get to a Super Bowl this year, man, this will be Manning's last shot to me at winning another championship, as far as I'm concerned. He won't get a better shot than he will have this year because, you know, Pittsburgh, we all know, Pittsburgh definitely is not a contender to win a championship. And they, you know, they can miss the playoffs easily miss the playoffs for a second straight year. Baltimore, I'm not going to go crazy about what happened Thursday, but again, they seem to be, you know, Super Bowl team coming off a Super Bowl win, a lot of transition defensively. So I'm not going to say that they're a Super Bowl contender. But I can't dismiss them in the AFC the way the AFC is. But they're not as strong as they have been in the past couple of years. You have, you know, New England is not what it once was. A lot of question marks. If not for how terrible that division is, I would be ready to pick somebody, whether it be Miami or Buffalo, over New England. But that division is just brutal. New England can win that division at 9-7 easily. But I'm just giving you a sense. I mean, those are the top teams. I mean, again, Cincinnati and Houston, you just don't trust. Cincinnati has all the talent in the world, but again, we're talking about Marvin Lewis here. Houston, you have a tremendous amount of talent, the best defensive player in the league in my eyes. But again, do you trust Kubiak and also Matt Schaub and also with Arian Foster? Arian Foster has been racking up a lot of carries in the last couple of years. I believe he has 4 straight years of 300 more carries. Expect to see more Ben Tate this year. But again, this could be a year that Arian Foster kind of starts to see his decline as, again, the carries have racked up over the years with him. But, again, I just don't try. Denver, to me, is clearly the class of the AFC. But when you go to the AFC, you're talking about heavyweights left and right. I mean, you have San Francisco, you have Seattle, you have Green Bay, you have New Orleans, you have Atlanta. You know, Giants, Washington. I mean, you have some big time teams in the AFC. And I didn't even mention some of the teams who could surprise and do something like a Detroit, like a Chicago. Even some of the lower teams like Arizona and St. Louis are not bad. Are not horrible teams. Minnesota's not a horrible team, though. I don't expect them. They will not make the playoffs this year. I don't believe. But they're not. You know, their team. They're dangerous. And watch out for New Orleans this year. New Orleans, I'm telling you right now, New Orleans is going to have a chip on their shoulder. Peyton and Breeze is going to be us against the world. They're going to look to destroy teams. And you talk about running up the score. They're going to be a prime candidate to run up scores. Quick fantasy note. I had to mention this. So I'm in a fantasy league called No Ma'am. NFL.com. Yeah, no ma'am. Those of you who watched Married with Children back in the day. Yeah, and we have a league player who calls himself the Great One. And this genius, okay, leaves Peyton Manning on the bench. He leaves Peyton Manning on the bench. And of course, what does Peyton Manning do? He throws for 462 yards, no interceptions, and 7 touchdowns, and scores had 81 points. So, a couple of things. Number one, leaving Peyton Manning on the bench. Who did he bench Peyton Manning for? Not Joe Montana. Not, you know, Dan Marino. He benches Peyton Manning for Matt Ryan. Yeah, Matt Ryan. And again, Matt Ryan's a upper echelon quarterback. We know this. But first of all, why you draft both Peyton Manning and Matt Ryan? If I draft Peyton Manning, then I probably would get the Matt Ryan pick with somebody else that I need. Another need, whether it be at a wide receiver or running back position. I'm going to wait on a second quarterback in the later rounds. But I'm just that. That's just me. I what do I know? That's just me. So, but I'm glad he's in our league, though. I'm glad that this guy, the Great One, is in our fantasy league. I feel reassured that I can just check him off and be like, yep, this season's over. Yep. Oh, it's hilarious to see that. Week one. Not week four, week five. You see decisions like that. Week one, the benching of one Peyton Manning. Again, some programming notes. We have NFL wrap-up show tomorrow, 7:30. We'll talk about the 1 o'clock games. Hopefully, we get an exciting game at 4:25. Hopefully, that Green Bay San Francisco game is going down to the wire, and we can do some play-by-play with that matchup. Some great matchups week one. New Orleans, Atlanta. They hate each other, by the way. Atlanta's still annoyed at New Orleans when Drew Brees broke that record for Dan Marino's passing yards record a couple years ago, and basically showed it in the face of New Orleans. So those two teams hate each other. And they've had some epic battles in the past couple years. Cincinnati, Chicago is a very good game, without question. Very interesting. We'll see that New England Buffalo game. Now, Buffalo doesn't have a quarterback. I think EJ Manuel will start. I'm not sure, but I want to watch New England this year in terms of what they do. Again, no Aaron Hernandez, of course. That goes without saying. No Rob Gronkowski probably won't play this week. No Wes Welker. Amendola is probable, but he'll probably play. So we'll see what Tom Brady does and with that team. You also have a decent matchup, Arizona and St. Louis. Both teams have very good defenses. St. Louis could be a surprise team this year. Carson Palmer going to Arizona. That division, that AFC West is the best division in football. There are no weak links in that division when you go Seattle, San Francisco, Arizona, and the Rams. So looking forward to a great weekend of NFL football. I will see you tomorrow evening at 7:30 for the NFL wrap-up show. Have a great weekend. So long.